Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G, Yo,
and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah! On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Herbert, pump, throw, intercepted! Eric Murray, pick six! Touchdown, Texans!
Nice throw, Bozo. Just a little high. Eric Murray with the pick six. The Texans go on to beat the Los Angeles Chargers in convincing fashion, 32-12. On Saturday, they will play the Kansas City Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium this coming Saturday. Kansas City 15-2 this year. And, of course, the two-time defending Super Bowl champions. He is Joe. I am Paul. Took a while, Joe, for the Texans to get going. But when they finally did, this game turned into an absolute beatdown.
Yeah, and I mean, Eric Murray kind of feel like he's been unmentioned so far. A guy that I've kind of beat up on really the last 2 years as a member of Houston Texans hasn't been that good.
He's a good backup safety.
Yeah.
You don't want him as a starter generally, but thrust into a role where since there's no Jimmy Ward and there's no Jalen Petrie, he's got to play a little bit. Ball's there. He made a play.
Yeah, I mean, to have that, it's 13-6. I mean, the Chargers have had they had some success in this game moving the ball. There was a lot of drives like they would move it, felt like for a little bit of time, and then they would stall out. And that shows you how great the defense is. But to be in a one score game and to have that big of a play right there, yes, it's a bad throw. I think is that the one that went off McConkey's hands? I can't remember. But just to have that moment right there, such a huge game changer, and it's so funny. I saw everyone's been tweeting about this. God, it's just like something they do in the playoffs, huh? As pick sixes.
They do. Texans. They had two last year. First, it was Steven Nelson. Then right afterwards, it was Christian Harris. And this time, similar to last year, first, Eric Murray picks off the pass that was high, intended for McConkey. And then the next play, ball bounces off of Will Disley, and Derek Stingley corrals it and takes it for quite some distance.
Yeah.
He was gone. And shout out to J.K. Dobbins not giving up. The rest of the Chargers seemingly did.
Yeah, I thought we were going to have back-to-back years with two pick sixes in one game right there, which would have been. But yeah, I saw DJ tweet this out. The Texans are the fifth team to record four interceptions, one of those being for a touchdown, and four sacks in a playoff game since sacks were first tracked in 1963.
And they did it off of a guy who had just three interceptions all year.
Yeah. And the other teams that did that all went to the Super Bowl.
Ooh.
The 2002 Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the 2000 Baltimore Ravens, the 1989 San Francisco 49ers. The last three teams to accomplish that.
The last two are some of the best defenses I've ever seen. Can't really speak on the 89 49ers, but I'm assuming also a very good defense. Texans? Historic defense?
I mean,
defense wins championships?
Best defense left in the playoffs? It's number of the Chiefs. Probably a toss-up, I would say.
Chiefs defense is very good.
Yeah.
Eagles defense is very good. Bills not so much. Ravens not so much.
Washington, not really.
Yeah, Washington.
Detroit, definitely not.
Detroit's banged up.
Minnesota, it's hard to say after the last game.
Oh, yeah.
Whoever wins Minnesota tonight, Rams, yeah. Minnesota Rams. Forgot about it. That game's being played in Phoenix. I imagine there will be a lot of Vikings fans there. They travel pretty well, and tickets looked pretty cheap for that one. I think it will be somewhat of a home field advantage for the Vikings in that. But I think the Vikings defense, you could definitely say, is better than the Texans defense. I think the Eagles defense, Chiefs defense, Texans are in the same class as.
Mm-hmm.
When the Texans are on their A game, they have frustrated some of the best quarterbacks in the game. And that's why they won. It's because of the defense. The defense kept things together while the offense was struggling. And when the offense finally showed up, they kept on doing what they've been doing all game long. I mean, that from start to finish, and just given the amount of players who made plays in this game, that was the most complete effort we have seen from the Texans defense under D'Amico Ryans. And that is saying something, because they have quite a few good performances on their resume, specifically this year against the Bills and Lions. I would say are at the absolute top. Dolphins right after that.
Yeah, I think this one, it definitely moves into the top because of the game in which it is, but also the special teams. You had a block punt,
mm-hmm.
and you had a blocked extra point that you returned for a two-point conversion. So it wasn't just, and that's when CJ's talking about earlier when we played the audio about playing a complete game. That's what really the special teams was, to have two blocks in one game is really a huge compliment to Frank Ross and what they've been doing, because they really just added like an extra dynamic to this team if you can have that level of success. And look, the defense is going to carry them as far as they can go. But if the offense can give you the timely scoring that they gave them, like, there is more possible for the Texans. Like, I don't know if I'm all the way bought back in, but if your defense is going to play to this level and then now your offense is a little awake and you're not going to be totally incompetent, like, you can win games like this. Like, you don't want to be the 2002 Ravens led by Trent Dilfer level of offense. Like, you're not going to be that inept and win. But if you can do this performance, once your quarterback has a throwing touchdown, Joe Mixon can run the ball pretty well, you can win. You can definitely win next week.
It's possible. We're not predicting it.
No.
But they are more than dead men walking. They are more than a bye week. Why are they more than both of those things, you might ask? Well, because a couple days ago, Saturday, the Houston Texans got back to doing something that they used to do so well. Have fun. Here's Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud.
It's not easy to have fun while you're not executing. You know, execution breeds, you know, energy and breeds that excitement to the game. So once we started executing, that's when we started playing, you know, with that swag. And I think it pops out, like, on film, or it pops off when we're rolling, you know. But it's that in-between we need to fix. So still a ton of things we can fix, but I definitely think the joy that we have after executing, we need to keep that rolling.
The fun, the joy. They got to keep having fun. They must maintain the joy.
Remember when they said that the first time this year?
Yes.
That the fun had to come back?
Correct.
I'm glad it's finally back.
It took a while to come back.
I don't even remember what week that was. That might have been like week 8.
It's been a while.
Like, it's been more than half the season.
It's been a long time, because I remember making fun of it, but I feel like that was multiple months ago and a different variant of facial hair ago. I don't know if I had a beard. I don't know if I had a mustache. I don't know if I was clean shaven. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to guess mustache. I feel like it's been mostly team mustache this football season, like proportionally.
Since like November?
If it was in November, it was probably a mustache. Yeah.
But the fun's back. That's all that matters.
The fun is back. That's all that matters. I think it's very interesting the way that D'Amico Ryans talked about C.J. Stroud after the game. It felt like D'Amico went out of his way to single out how well C.J. Stroud played, and maybe that's to keep him as confident as he seemed to be after that throw to Xavier Hutchinson, and then even more so after that scramble he had to set up the Texans field goal to make it 10-6 right before halftime. Here is D'Amico Ryans talking about the totality of the Texans' effort, and specifically C.J. Stroud.
I can go through each position group. Everybody stepped up and made a play. We needed to make plays. Our best players stepped up. It made big plays for us to win this game. And none other than CJ, just want to make sure, you know, he gets the love that he deserves. Like the play that he made on the fumble snap and throw to Hutch, like that's the play that just sparked our entire, not our offense, but our entire team. Right, seeing the way all of our guys responded after he made the play and then to come back with another big scramble on the next drive, just outstanding performance by CJ.
I thought it was interesting, too, how he described him as, he said that he changed I'm sure you didn't hear that because you're in the press box, but he told the sideline reporter that CJ changed, like, when those happened. And that I totally agree with. It's just, if CJ doesn't wake up like that, they don't win this game. I still think it's the running play where he just looked them. It looked like it really brought the confidence back the absolute most for him. It was just like, let it go. I'm CJ Stroud. I can figure this thing out. The nervousness seemed gone. He looked more comfortable in the pocket, I thought, after that, too. Like, it just, like, collectively, he just looked like he was back to where it was last year when they played Cleveland.
They weren't winning a rock fight. You're right. They needed the offense to do something. And that's been the problem much of this year. The offense has gone long droughts over the course of a game. And now the hope is that whatever was in the way of the Texans' offense from being closer to what it was last year, whether it's injuries, no Stephon Diggs, no Tank Dell, who were both at the game, the offensive line, Bobby Slowick, or Stroud himself, whatever happened there, they need to study the absolute bleep out of the film, and they got to figure out a way to make this happen again. On the road, hostile environment, false starts might be happening. Illegal formations might be happening. Delay of games might be happening. Illegal man downfield might be happening. Like, they seem on the road to get rattled a little bit. That can't happen. I trust this team outside of on Christmas Day at NRG Stadium. I would say on the road at Arrowhead, this is going to make things even more difficult for them to keep it going. But I do think that given what they did and the complete effort with which they played on Saturday, it's not impossible. I'm not calling them dead men walking going into this game.
No, it's not impossible. I still don't know. I'm curious how many people will pick the Texans. Like, I know Teddy Bruschi did. It was referenced in that clip earlier. I know I saw the NFL Network graphic that always gets put up every week where, like, the eight analysts pick and only one of them picked the Texans. I don't expect that to change very much, if not go in the other direction of just, like, everyone picks the Chiefs. But for at least the belief going to the game, I believe the Texans can win this weekend. I firmly believe that. I think the Chiefs are beatable. I definitely think they can win this weekend.
Texans.
They played well enough.
Swarm! Hell yeah.
Do you believe? Are you a believer?
I'm not a believer, but I'm beginning to believe.
Mm.
As Morpheus says in The Matrix, when Neo turns around and decides to fight Agent Smith at the train station. Mr. Anderson. Speaking of, Will Anderson, awesome. He was fantastic in that game.
He's incredible.
Will Anderson is such a nice guy. It is hard to believe that he is an absolute menace on the field. I think it was L-Mac who was tweeting out a quote tweet of this clip I got of him when I asked him, like, hey, what was it like to have that wide open sack? And he says, like, oh, thank you, Jesus. L-Mac responds saying, like, he's like the sweetest guy. He's just like, I just love him. But he's so violent on the field and you would never expect it. Did you see the pregame interview that he did with J.J. Watt?
I haven't watched it yet.
Okay. This clip is something else. So imagine you're Justin Herbert and you're getting bullied by a guy who had this happen to him when he was growing up.
So my sisters would take me, put me in a giraffe suit and pick me up and hang me at the door and just crack the door open just a little bit and let the dogs like try to nibble at me or whatever like that. And I used to be crying every single day of my mom left the word.
No wonder you're a dog out there. This is cake. This is cake. I got two brothers. I've never had anything close to that.
It was rough.
Sisters are brutal.
That's pretty traumatic.
That's harsh, man.
Yo, Will Anderson, if his sisters are listening, yo, Will Anderson's sisters, yo, repent. Repent.
How do you think they feel like that story being aired out? Like, do you think you give them a heads up? Like, hey, by the way, I told the story on national television for the entire world to hear how terrible of people you are. That's tough.
I wonder if he visualizes his sisters when he goes after. And he, of course, he's not allowed to do this in real life, but if he's Joey Waterboy.
Bobby Boucher.
Yeah. That's sort of what I'm thinking happened.
Bobby Boucher was a really nice kid.
He was.
Like, he was a good, really sweet
person.
Had
a kind heart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On the football field, he was a menace.
Yeah.
Also might have had some learning disabilities. Still is wetting the bed. But, hey.
He got the girl.
He did get the very trashy Trailer Park Girl from Louisiana at the very end.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with Trailer Park Girls,
by the
way.
Win's a win.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have pursued that for sure.
He got the dub.
She's the right kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, Will Anderson is the sweetest Terminator. The absolute sweetest Terminator. Is Justin Herbert overrated?
Yes.
I think so, too.
I think we have to put him in this category. I mean, the way that we have all, in the media, as fans, talked about Lamar Jackson and his lack of playoff success, and it's Justin Herbert. It's not even close to Lamar. He doesn't get to the playoffs. When he does get to the playoffs, he loses in dramatic fashion. Like, at least Lamar has MVPs, and you can comp him to, like, having career success like Peyton Manning. I don't even know what the comp would be for Justin Herbert of, like, the quarterbacks you grew up watching. Eli?
As Phil Rivers?
Because Eli's had good playoff moments. Phil Rivers even had good playoff moments. Herbert has never won a playoff game. He's 5 years in. He is put on a pedestal by people online to a point where nothing against Justin Herbert, but I want him to fail because I hate those people.
I was going to say, is he actually overrated? Or is it like such a subset of people that are overrating him that like everyone gangs up on? Like, I feel like most people are like, they have him, you know, in the back end of the 10 range, you know, the 10, 12.
Which is appropriate.
Yeah, it's good. He's good.
Truly.
They shouldn't bench him. That's really where he is. It's like, no, you're without a doubt the starter for as long as your contract is.
No, but I think we talk about Justin Herbert, or a lot of people have talked about Justin Herbert, into what we were saying earlier about the top four quarterbacks. That Mahomes, Allen, Lamar, and Burrow are so much farther ahead of everyone else. And until, I feel like, last year, when things fell apart for the Chargers, people tried to include Justin Herbert in that conversation with those guys. And he might even be the next guy still.
These people will say, the film doesn't lie. And yeah, Justin Herbert does cool stuff. He had an awesome throw while running to his left in this game. But every quarterback in the league, generally, is capable of doing that a couple of times a game. Herbert has the most wow plays. That does not, if you can't do it consistently, make you one of the game's best quarterbacks. And the beating of the drums by online football people, the dork community, who have forced analytics into football talk. These people like Herbert so much. And much like maybe during a certain election, you wanted the media to be wrong with their predictions. Let's say like back in 2016. Like, you were almost like rooting against the media because they were so annoying and they talked down to you. That's how I feel about the analytic community's boners collective. They're pants tense for Justin Herbert. So, nothing against Justin Herbert, who I think is a tough quarterback and actually a very talented player, but it is very satisfying to see him fail given those people suck. Like, they just annoy me. Hey, listen, Herbert's had as many pants poopages in the playoffs as Lamar Jackson. Mm. Herbert lost a game where the quarterback he was going up against threw four interceptions in the first quarter. And it wasn't even it's Trevor Lawrence, you know? Like, we're not even talking about one of the top quarterbacks in the game. We're talking about a middle of the road as far as quarterbacks go. Franchise QB, who's definitely paid a lot of money, but like,
Yeah, like, I think Justin Herbert's better than Trevor Lawrence.
I agree.
For sure.
Like, I don't think they're like in the same neighborhood, really. I think that is the biggest part, is that he is kind of like in the next group, but he is so far away from the top four or five.
Yes, like, he is a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, in my opinion. But is he overrated? Yes, because I think it's people want to elevate him into a category that he just doesn't belong in.
Like, is he, like, Hurts, Love range?
Yes.
Yeah, Hurts, Love, Stroud.
Yes.
Like, that's the group. Stafford, Goff. Like, he's in that grouping of quarterbacks.
Yeah. Purdy.
But then, like, doesn't have any playoff success.
Did you hear what Jim Harbaugh had to say about Herbert after the game? This is just an all-time line. Give Jim Harbaugh deserves credit. He deserves credit because he's always going to defend his quarterback. Here is what Jim Harbaugh had to say when asked about Herbert.
How did you feel like Justin played?
Like he always does. Complete beast.
Complete beast. Four interceptions.
I love Harbaugh.
I love Harbaugh too. That is psychopathic delusion.
Yeah, I think he is. I'm sure behind closed doors he is not saying that.
Yeah, it's like when he said J.J. McCarthy was like the best quarterback he's ever seen.
Yes.
It's like, yeah. All right, dude.
Yeah, then trade Justin Herbert.
Yeah, pump the brakes.
Like, I think the Bears are taking Justin Herbert, so you could take J.J. McCarthy with the first pick. Like, he didn't do that, buddy.
Right, and now he's just turned to calling Justin Herbert the greatest quarterback who's ever played. He said that it was on him. He said that the Chargers got out-coached, and they did get out-coached. I don't think the loss, though, is as much on Harbaugh as it is on just the collective talent around Justin Herbert. I don't think it's very good. That's not making excuses for Herbert. Herbert had some bad throws in this game and clearly was running for his life a lot of it.
It definitely snowballed. Like, the moment snowballed on Herbert, like, crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, that, to me, is the biggest indictment of for Herbert's performance. It's, like, less than, like, the actual stat line or whatever. It's just that once things started going bad in the second, third quarter, like, you could tell, like, the next time they got the ball, you're like, he has no chance at leading a drive. The only time they really scored or moved the ball was the one play drive, or I don't know if it was a one play drive, but the long 80-yard McConkey touchdown, where a lot of it was just run after catch.
Right, mm-hmm. Exactly.
I think it was like third and long on that play. I think it just got sacked.
Yeah. No, he had nothing for the Texans the entire second half.
What an insane four-play sequence. Sack, 86-yard touchdown, blocked extra point return for two.
That game with everything.
That was a lot.
The game was a lot of fun. I'll tell you that. Like, I know you guys, like, it wasn't a great NFL weekend for sure for the playoffs. It was objectively boring besides last night's game. The Texans game was fun.
Oh, it definitely was the second most entertaining.
Because it was just kind of chaotic. The final score does not indicate how chaotic the game was.
Well, it's like a snooze fest early.
Yeah.
And then it hit the nitrous in the second and third quarters where just everything was happening. And then it was kind of a Texans blowout in the fourth.
It was, for sure. It was really just that one throw to McConkey. Otherwise, complete dominance. Texans defense deserves a lot of credit for stuffing Herbert the way that they did. A couple of comments. Todd the Show asks, I don't care about Herbert at all, but didn't Peyton Manning struggle in the postseason his first 4 years? Yes, and that was one of the reasons that when Peyton Manning was struggling in the postseason his first 4 years, I would get very annoyed that he would be put above Tom Brady in the best quarterbacks in the game, even though he clearly was a better quarterback. It was the way that everyone was like, oh, he's the best. Okay, don't throw four interceptions in the AFC Championship game then, Peyton. Yeah.
I mean,
don't score 3 points against a bunch of backup quarterbacks, Peyton.
And, like, Peyton versus Herbert. It's like, tell me when Herbert throws for 50 touchdowns in a season.
Exactly.
Like, tell me when that happens.
Three interceptions. Huh?
See, he has seven in my
book. No, he has seven interceptions this year.
This is, A, they should count playoff stats as actual stats. Agreed. I don't know why they count them separately. Two, he has seven interceptions.
Seven now.
Yeah, it's just that's, yes, he can change. He can get out of this just like Peyton Manning did. But, like, nobody is picking.
In the Super Bowl?
No one's picking Justin Herbert to.
What?
You're the worst.
Well, I mean, that's the only reason he won one.
No one's picking Justin Herbert to win two Super Bowls.
No.
That's where he's overrated now.
Yeah.
As people talk about him, like, he is a quarterback who's going to win multiple Super Bowls. I know Peyton Manning technically did. The real Peyton Manning won one Super Bowl.
Like, against the Bears, asterisk.
Fair.
Honestly, the Patriots blew a 21-3 lead the week before, so I'm talking out of my ass on that.
But you know what? If it wasn't Rex Grossman, like, you never know. Maybe the Bears would have one in my lifetime.
If they went with Orton.
If they went with Orton. And look, man, he's throwing fat dips on the sideline. That's my quarterback.
I was annoyed Peyton Manning won the MVP of that Super Bowl, too. I was like, wait a second. I think it was like Dominic Rhodes or Joseph Addai.
I think it was Rhodes.
Two Colts running backs had like a good game. And I was like, Peyton Manning doesn't deserve this award. He sucks.
Yeah, but it's always good. It was
tears
but
in
it was
eyes.
Always going to Peyton.
yeah, for sure.
But like, that's what Herbert is. Like he's Rodgers. He can be Rodgers. Which is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Like, he's at most a one Super Bowl guy. And that's why I think, like, he really is overrated, because I would never bet on him to win more than one Super Bowl in his career.
I think even you saying he could be Rodgers is overrating him. Like, I don't think he can be Rodgers. I think Rodgers is, like, I don't know, top 10 quarterback of all time.
Yeah,
I guess
I'm moving from, like, wins total, like, Super Bowl totals. Like, he's not a two Super Bowl guy. We're like Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen,
he's not
Joe
Eli
Burrow.
Manning. Two Super Bowl wins.
He might be like a poor man's Philip Rivers. Was the Chargers quarterback.
Yeah, that's why it feels lazy. It feels lazy and like, oh yeah, just the last Chargers quarterback. But that is like, he's kind of in the Phil Rivers zone of, he's really good, but there's four guys in his conference that are way better than him.
Also, I mean, Rivers played better in the playoffs. Like, Herbert, I mean, it's going to be held against him in the same way it's held against Lamar Jackson. And the Texans' defense are the reason that he looked as bad as he did on Saturday. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glasses. Galana George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. You want to chime in on the Texans' win over the Chargers on Saturday? 713-780-3776 to call into Texans. You can also do the same to talk about the Texas Longhorns losing to Ohio State on Friday, and Mike McCarthy out as head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Stick around. ESPN 97.5, 92.5 on YouTube, at ESPN Houston on Twitch, at ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Stroud laces it. Touchdown, Nico Collins! Texans on the board and a chance to take the lead.
Who can make a play? Nico can. Who can make a play? Nico can. Please give him the ball. Every down. Over and over and over and over again. Against the Chiefs, you want to win. Keep on feeding him the rock.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I'd like to see that target number increase significantly next week. Eight targets is a good number, but it should not be on par with Mechie. Even if it's your game plan to throw the ball a little bit shorter, and it seems Mechie was the go-to guy for CJ in this game, which is still a little surprising. But yeah, that connection seeing that back, though, also is part of the reason why I think there's a belief that there could be confidence moving forward. Because even Nico and CJ hasn't been great the last couple weeks. Like, we haven't seen, you know, a performance like these two guys where they were so clearly on a good page together in a while. So that's just another sign of why it's okay to feel good about the Texans going forward.
Early on in that game, they couldn't get him the ball at all. There was a moment, I remember he got his first reception, and I thought to myself, wait a second. Yeah, he hasn't been featured at all. They've been throwing it to John Mechie a lot, who fumbled on his first reception, dropped another ball over the middle on another reception. Not a great game for John Mechie. In fact, not really a great game for anyone that was not named Nico Collins at the receiver position. He's the one that's going to win you a game on offense. It's really him. And I know that Joe Mixon down the stretch did some awesome things, but you just got to keep in mind that the offensive line in front of Joe Mixon is not very good at run blocking. And usually when Mixon's busting off big plays, it's because of his own ability. That's what the running game is this year. It's a lot of nothing, a lot of nothing, and then Joe Mixon eventually is going to do something because he is a playmaker.
I do think with the wide receivers, though, even though like no one had a big day, this is just where they're at right now with C.J. Stroud. He has to – when you look at the numbers of what they put up this weekend, that's what actually I think stands out in a very positive way for the offense, is that you've got, you know, Deontay Johnson, Joe Mixon, Robert Woods, Dalton Schultz had a total of six targets, but each of them averaged over 10 yards of receiving – more than 10 yards receiving per reception. So he's finding guys when they are open. You have Cade Stover and Mechie both go 4 for 28. Xavier Hutchinson has the one catch for 34 yards. Like, for this offense to be successful, this is the recipe for success, is everybody's got to contribute a little bit to move the Texans down the field, but then you need Nico and Joe Mixon to be the guys who make your explosive plays for this thing to work. So, because I just feel so much better about the offense, even though like the numbers still are not
really
amazing. Just because I think it's the best they've looked really since Diggs got hurt. I know that the touchdown to Tank, it's hard to remove like what happened before that, but I think this is the best it's looked since Diggs got hurt. I just feel better about it.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong about that. It's been a while since they were clicking and where C.J. Stroud felt confident, and I bet he would have felt confident had Tank Dell not had his knee exploded by friendly fire on that touchdown reception that he had against the Chiefs. But it's been a very long time since that offense has happened. I don't know if I feel good about them going into Kansas City again.
Sure.
Colder this time around. with the Chiefs defense being what it is, what's at stake for Kansas City. I mean, a regular season game at Arrowhead Stadium on a Saturday versus a playoff Saturday game with everything at stake. Like, this is when the Chiefs fans are going to be at their loudest.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, CJ Stroud's been in environments like this before in college, and maybe not at Energy Stadium. Although Energy Stadium, once everyone showed up on Saturday, it was pretty good. It just took a lot of people a lot of time to get there, and there were a surprising amount of Charger blue in the stadium.
Didn't realize there was that many Chargers fans.
I didn't either.
I was
maybe a little bit more mobile because of what's going on in LA. Everyone out there, if there's anyone here in Houston still from what's going on in LA, we hope everything's going okay for you back home. But yeah, there were a surprising amount of Chargers fans at the stadium.
Yeah. Also, for the Twitchers over here, I have something to say very quickly.
Ooh.
If you're going to argue about touchdowns, like, be a little more creative than that. Because if your only argument for the Texans is that they only scored two touchdowns this weekend, and that's not why the offense was not impressive, then what are you going to say about the Commanders? What are you going to say about the Eagles? Because all those teams won this weekend. Three teams won this weekend with only scoring two touchdowns.
What are they saying about
the Texans? They're saying, the Texans' offense looks good, but they only scored two touchdowns. Shut up. Shut up. So did the Commanders. They scored two touchdowns. Their offense was very good this weekend. The Eagles, Jalen Hurts, not his best game, but they also only scored two touchdowns this weekend. Using touchdowns only as the argument for why a team is good or bad on offense is a dumb argument. Use your eyeballs. You saw them moving up and down the field in parts of this game, and also, better does not mean best offense in the NFL. Like, there is a difference between looking improved for the first time in months and having a belief that this thing can move forward in a better way, more positively, versus saying they're the Baltimore Ravens, because nobody's saying that.
They also got help from the defense scoring touchdowns, which makes it harder for the Texans offense to score touchdowns. You get a pick six, and then the very next play, there's an interception, and you return it to what, like the 13-yard line?
Yep.
The offense isn't going to be able to, I guess, be as chesty about the total of touchdowns that are out there. But the offense was better as the game went along. Stroud still had some moments that I hope he looks at the film and says, okay, I can't be too confident out there. But this was a very complete effort once Stroud had the throw to Xavier Hutchinson on that third down. And then after he had that scramble right before halftime to make it 10-6.
For sure. And is that something you think you – how much more do you want to see of the running from CJ? Like, are you – do you think that's vital for the Texans now? Because, gosh, as soon as he threatened to run, it just –
if it's open, he should take it.
It did feel like things opened up for the rest of the offense once he took off. Like, it just – the threat of it, and maybe that's enough to help overall going forward. But it is something that's been open for him in the past, and he just seems – hesitant to not want to do it. Like, it
hesitant
just,
to not want it.
And hesitance in not wanting to run.
Gotcha.
Like, he just seems to be comfortable in the pocket, trying to find the big play downfield. So I'd like to see him do a lot more of it. Also, slide.
Especially slide.
Especially if they're going to call the...
Slide, you're going to get hit like Trevor Lawrence.
Especially if they're going to call the dive wrong, because I'm still confused about that play.
Yeah, they effed that up. I thought that Stroud was still going forward and he got tripped up. And since I think he was falling forward in a way that looked like he was giving himself up, they called it a slide. So they called him down where his feet left the ground. But I do not think that should have been called the way it was called.
I was surprised when they went to the booth that they didn't change it. I swear I thought they were going to overturn it because it, to me, looked very clear. But it feels like they called it like a dive based on the sliding rules. That like where he started the dive.
Yeah, that's what they ruled it on the field. Yeah, I don't think they should have.
Crazy. I don't. That's not the rules.
I get why they did it. I just disagree with their interpretation of what happened there.
Yeah,
because I really felt like Stroud was taken down, and it wasn't him just diving forward in a way that was giving himself up.
Yeah.
Do not slide. Dive forward.
But unfortunately, if they're going to call it like that, then you might as well slide.
Well, if you slide, I mean, then you're going to get even less yards there.
Yeah. I was that one surprised me. That one I thought was way worse of a call than the Derwin James stuff that happened earlier in the game. But look, they have something at least to build off of going forward. Like, they have an idea of what worked for the offense this week by making adjustments. Like, there's not a reason to feel totally hopeless for the offense going
forward. Right, exactly. And look, I mean, for those who are nitpicking, first drive of the second quarter, they were moving. They had that big catch and run on third and five for 41 yards by Nico Collins before they got cute and Mixon fumbled. The next drive, they did get all the way down to the they got down to the Chargers 20. They got down to the Chargers 19, and then things got crazy, and it was second and 40 at one point where they shot themselves in the foot. But they still got back to a situation where it was a makeable field goal for Kyahmi Fairbairn. The next drive, they went three and out. After that, pick six, and then another interception, back to back. They have a short field at the Chargers 13. They got to the four on the first down, and then they decided to pass. And that was another moment where I look at Bobby Slocum and I'm like, hey, keep running. Don't pull a Sark here. I actually tweeted out, like, I think I said Sark Slocum out here calling a pass on second down when it's second and one and clearly running the ball was working.
Yeah.
So there are definitely some things to nitpick, but the drive at the end and the way that they finished the first half are things to build off of. Consider where they were and where I said they were and where you said they were and where everyone with eyeballs said that they were going into Saturday, including Rex Ryan. They were dead on offense and had been dead for a while. And that game against the Ravens still overruled anything that might have happened in that last game of the year against the last place in the NFL Titans. There are things to build off of, and they have to find a way to keep it going. And if Bobby Slowick can do that, and if C.J. Stroud can figure out what worked for him and what didn't work for him in what's going to be a much more difficult environment and keep it going forward, they have a puncher's chance in hell to win in Kansas City.
Definitely.
Still would not pick him if a gun was held against my head, but I feel like it's possible, and we were not there last weekend. We were all looking like, all right, well, best case scenario, they win, and then they're going to get the doors blown off. But now you're looking at them, and you're saying, hey, if that defense shows up again, there's actually a chance of them doing the improbable.
No, I don't think they're going to – I mean, I guess, like, what's the definition of getting the doors blown off you? I guess it's not covering the spread, maybe, which is, like, 7.5 right now. It's still technically a one-touchdown game. I the offenses can do enough to where they can keep this a game because how good the defense is. Like, it does, as much as we've just talked about the offense, it starts in with that the Texans have at least they played like an elite defense. And if they can replicate that and even come close to it, they don't need to get the points from it. But if you can be that bend but don't break defense that you were on those first two drives specifically, where they're not allowing touchdowns, even as the team is moving, and as your wide receiver makes a huge mistake in the fact that it's only 6-0 instead of 14-0. If they can do that, they can hang with the Chiefs for sure. I do think that's still below expectation, though. Like, I'd like to see them do more than just hang with the Chiefs. Like, at least, like, make the Chiefs beat you, like, in the final moments of the game. I would enjoy that this weekend.
Yeah, hang in there till the end. See what happens. You got a quarterback that, if his confidence is where it was at times this past game, you got a shot. We'll see what happens. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glasses. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. We wrap things up with garbage time. A very weird story coming out of Texas involving arguably the most popular person in sports. Stay put.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. We're back with Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Last chance to dance, Galant and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Texans beat the Chargers on Saturday, 32-12. They played the Chiefs Saturday at Arrowhead Stadium. 8-point dogs. Hey, they were 3-point home dogs. Why can't they cover the spread as 8-point road dogs? Also, Texas, yeah, they lost. Sorry. To Ohio State in a game that Sean Mapes called the actual national championship.
Yeah, what an insult.
You shouldn't have let that slide. I mean, Sean, your boys choked, and Joe's boys, they made it.
I just didn't want to kick him when he was down too much.
Well, I mean, we didn't get to play Drew Aller. with crap running down his legs.
Drew Aller, by the way, breaking news. Drew Aller returning to school at Penn State. He's not declaring for the NFL draft.
Yeah, no joke.
Literally just saw that pop up on social media.
Because it felt like for a week or two it might reverse.
Yeah, because he said he was coming back before the playoff, and then they won two games against SMU and Boise State, and people were like, I don't know, maybe he should. Unnamed execs have him QB1 in this draft.
Yeah.
And then he goes out and does that.
And it was like teams were doing research on him. Like,
guys, you're wasting your time.
Well, that's what they do just in case he comes out. And this is also a terrible draft class for quarterbacks.
Well,
it's very, very bad.
Drew Aller's still not good enough because that guy stinks.
Yeah.
He's also going to make a lot more in college than he would in the NFL.
I would think so, because they got to pay you to keep you at that cult. You think A&M's weird? Oof. Penn State.
The weirdest.
Definitely the weirdest. Also, Mike McCarthy reportedly out as head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. We'll see.
Jerry just put out a very, not very lengthy, it's two and a half paragraphs, I'd say. Two paragraphs talking about, saying goodbye to Mike McCarthy. So I think that's the end.
We had a good run, and now it's over.
I think it's just over. I don't know about a good run.
It was a good run.
Yeah.
They had some of their most successful seasons.
Yeah, what did they accomplish?
12 wins in the regular season.
Cool.
Well,
any playoff victories?
Now he's going to be head coach of the Bears and more accomplishments.
They got Jordan Love paid like the best quarterback in the league. Shout to McCarthy for that.
He did get a playoff win in 2022.
Yeah.
That's right.
Boom.
He did get one playoff win.
Boom. 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 Three booms. Boom.
And then he lost to San Francisco. Like, what was it? Like 3 years? Two out of 3 years? Yeah, I know. He's
tough matchup.
He's probably going to be the next head coach of the Bears. I know.
Time for a little bit of garbage time before we get out of here.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Oh, boy. Not a good look for our state. No, I'm not talking about Steve Sarkisian's red zone offense or the Dallas Cowboys going 7-10 this year. I'm talking about a Texas man who sent sexually violent messages from his ex account to Indiana Fever star Caitlin Clark, and then drove to Indianapolis, sending messages like, been driving around your house three times a day, but don't call the law just yet. Michael Thomas Lewis of Denton, Texas, is charged with one count of stalking, threatening sexual battery or death, a level 5 felony. He was arrested yesterday.
Yikes. Big yikes. The whole, like, people knowing where everyone lives now for celebrities, not great. Not great. This is happening. All the robberies are happening.
Caitlin Clark probably needs private security.
Oh, yeah.
And I would imagine that the WNBA is going to have to provide it, given that she doesn't make that much money. From a salary perspective, I know from endorsements, she probably makes a good amount.
Well, but remember, like, she's the reason why they had to stop flying on normal airplanes because of what was happening at airports. That's why they had to finally start paying money to have these teams fly private.
Is this classic Denton? I'm asking for the audience. Is this a very Denton move? Is Denton kind of weird?
It's by Dallas. It's outside Dallas.
So it's not one of our burbs. Good. I was like, is this extended Houston suburb?
It's a Dallas problem.
North Texas.
All right, well, North Texas, clean it up.
Then, yeah, I would say it's a reflection of Dallas.
For sure. And on that note, guys, that's going to wrap up today's edition of Gallant and George. Big thanks to our callers, texters, YouTubers, and Twitchers. For Sean Mapes, for Joe George, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell, Texas Swarm! We'll be back at it tomorrow. The Killer Bees are next. Peace!
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store.